Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I went to the Scotland-England game at Hampden. And it was a great day. Like, we were sitting, Foz and I were sitting with Rod Stewart and all his family.
That's Richie Foster. He's
so we had, Foz was buzzing because Rod Stewart across the dinner table was like, "You play for St Johnston?" And he was like, "Oh my God, I've been recognised by Rod Stewart." And then he went to the toilet and Rod came over to me. I'd met him before and he'd came over and said, "Oh, I've got so many questions I want to ask him." And I was like, "Well, just ask him."
Rod Stewart was saying that?
Yeah, right. So. And he was like, "No, but I can't, I'm too embarrassed." And I was like, "Just ask him, he will be buzzing that you want to speak to him." So he came back and then he came round and he was asking Foz all these questions. He wanted to know a lot about what Tommy Wright was like at halftime. So he was asking questions like, when you're playing Celtic and it's halftime, like, what does Tommy Wright, what did he say to you the last time, like, we played you this game, like, gave him the date and all that.
And he remembered all the games,
isn't it? Yeah, and Foz was like, "I can't remember." But yeah, so that was interesting. So we went to that game and that euphoria, like the first free kick, but the fact that the identical one straight after just brought back all my love and the amazing memories of supporting Scotland, like the epic highs and then obviously the tragic lows when they equalised.
Change of manager, John Collins comes in. First question, how impressive is his six pack?
Oh, it's impressive. Is it? There's no doubt about it.
How many times did you see it daily?
Well, he had an Under Armour top on that he used to walk about in, so you could see it through that, like, continually.
And would he pull players up for not having that?
I mean, well, when he first came in, you've heard the story. I mean, when he first came in, it was a bit embarrassing. You know, there was a team meeting in the changing room, and it was, "This is what I'm going to get you, so this is what you're going to get," and then taking you through to his manager's office.
Well, I thought you were going to say bedroom.
Taking you through to his manager's office and doing, like, you know, weighing you and doing, like, the body fats and stuff like that. And he's coming over and, like, going, "Get you one of them. That's what we're going to get you." And, you know, just a bit like,
get the boys out and play.
And then boys are coming back to the changing room like, "You're never going to fucking believe what's going on through there."
What about on the training pitch? Was he better?
Pish.
Was he?
See, this is the thing. You know, there's this myth that had sort of developed that the boys were, like, spitting the dummy out because it was, like, hard and it was, like, European-style training and all that. It was pish. Mm-hmm. It was slow. The tempo was crap. It was, you know, it was like, you'd do, like, shooting drills that were, like, the full length of the park. You know, pass, 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 have a shot, and you're like, what is
that?
What
is happening again, man?
What is this? You know, so... It was the training that the boys were like. It wasn't the intensity, or it was because it wasn't intense.
Right.
And the training was just like, you weren't learning anything, you know. And this is a guy who, you know, when he walks into the changing room, instantly commanded respect because of what he'd done as a player. And when he talks about the game, or when he, you know, when I used to see him on the telly and talking about the game, he seemed like he had good ideas, but his interpersonal skills and being able to relate it and talk to folk, that was just...
See, even as a young guy, would you be the one that would have to say something?
Looking back in hindsight, I can understand that managers, like, viewed me as being difficult. But what I was doing was trying to, you know, be constructive. And weak characters find it difficult to be able to, like, handle folk that have got an opinion. The cup final... went away to Marbella, and at this point it was like, it was bubbling under the surface, boys weren't happy, and went away to Marbella, and it was like, all these sort of like rules in place. You can't do this, can't do that, be in your room at this time, do this, do that. And it was just like that. Boys are like,
it's a youth team.
And I'm not being funny, like, as I said before, I, you know, especially when I was playing, I barely drank. I wasn't a big drinker at all. And like the boys, the first night we got there, they were like, "All right, well, we'll go down to the like the harbour." So everyone's like, "We'll go down now." And the fact that we're down there, and the fact that it was like dinny this, dinny that, it was almost, I almost stood there thinking to myself, "I want a pint." But I mean, all the rest of the boys are like battering at the pints, you know. And I was like, "Oh, I can't mind whether I did or I don't. I didn't. I probably didn't." And then it was like back to the hotel. And the next day, like, something happened. I can't remember what it was, but anyway, there was like a crisis meeting. I think we were training. There was like, clearly there was just, it was bubbling under the surface. So Collins calls a crisis meeting after a day and a half in Marbella, right? So the boys are
they've run out of beer. Is that the crisis?
The boys are lined up, and he's talking about like, "I've done this for years. I've got used to Marbella. The chairman's like, no, 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 I'm getting this for you. I'm doing this." It was all about like what he's in. Wee hyphen Sproul pipes up and goes like that. He says, "You know what?" He says, "I used to be a fucking welder." He says, "I'd rather be fucking welding than fucking standing here right now." And it was like that. What? And then he got up, stormed. I said to him, "I says, look, try to be constructive." I said, "The issue is, right, you've put all these restrictions on boys, right? Saying we can't do this, can't do that. Da, 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 da." I said, "Human nature is, when you tell somebody they can't do something, they want to do it."
Yeah.
I said, "You've got to give us a bit of rope.
Just treat us like adults.
If we hang ourselves, then you can come down at us and go like, that's out." Or I said, "But you can't like stop us doing everything. Just like give us a bit of trust." And he was like, "Fucking nonsense." And then he stormed off. And then
to do some setups.
Tommy Craig standing at the top, and he was like, "Any more chat?" And Bruni was like, "That." He says, "Well, what do you mean any more chat?" He says, "He's fucking upsticked and fucked off." He says, "He won't even listen." You know, he's asking us what the problem is. He says, "And he's just fucked off."
What motor did Walter drive?
Range Rover.
Was it?
Aye.
He's a daddy.
Big Range Rover. I named Elsa the Range Rover because he'd won.
All
the boys are actually scared to buy a Range Rover because he'd won.
Would Walter Smith be the type that if you've got a bit like a motor that you shouldn't, he would say something like, "Nah, the young boys or something"?
Nah, when I say Walter, would be Kenny and Coyste maybe would be, but whether that's came from Walter or no,
right,
we don't know. But he wouldn't really call him to
do you driving that motor? For.
Aye, when I signed, I was in his motor.
Yeah.
Aye, I was with him.
Come on, tell us what you're going to
say. First time I met him in a Chick Young interview, so I was like, "Oh, all right, Gaffer, pleased to meet you," and that, aye, brilliant. And he'd speak about football a wee bit, and I'm like, "Why you talking through that Chick Young interview, please?"
Did you?
And he just laughed. Aye, looking back, what am I doing?
Did you say dude, please?
Aye. I scared him. He's just a complete gentleman. Likes a laugh, good laugh, and very, very grounded for the amount of success.
Did he hear music on?
No. Which I wouldn't have minded because there was a wee bit of silence at times.
No, was no, oh, no. No. No, no, oh, no.
It's funny, we were in Tenerife at Christmas there, and we're sitting at Hard Rock Hotel, and I'm standing at the bar, and who walks in but Gazza?
Right.
So Gazza used to live up the road from me in Kilbarkin. Right. So I'd met him a couple of times, but I don't think he knew who I was. I think he just saw someone at the bar and felt obliged to talk to them. And he came over and he started talking away to me. And my wife came over, and after he left, she went, "Who the fuck is that?" And I said, "Do you not recognise him?" She said, "Aye, that's one of those old ravers for the foo bar, isn't it? The years have caught up them." I said, "That was Gazza." She said, "Oh my God." She thought it was some guy that was still stuck in 1997 with his hands in the air, you know.
See, on that, like, see what you're talking about, the stress and that, has there ever been a time where you thought, this is too much?
No, there's times when you're under pressure, and by the way, I can only speak personally, I don't feel the pressure. I get annoyed with myself if I make a mistake.
Yeah.
I get annoyed with myself, I put myself under pressure, but I never think it's too much, and I can't deal with this, or I don't want to do this, you know. And the biggest pressure I've ever been under, I remember back in 2013, it was Easter Sunday, so I'm building up domestic appointments, they're getting higher profile, so Celtic were on course to win the league, and they were playing away to St Mirren. I've had a beast.
Did you? Too many eggs in the
moment. Tell you, treasure hunts killed me. I didn't have a good game, right? So both teams were killing me. and I've made a crucial decision that's allowed St Mirren to, I've given a penalty late on, simulation, it's on the edge of the box, and it's allowed St Mirren to equalise. So, and then Danny Lennon was the manager of St Mirren at the time, Neil Lennon's the manager of Celtic at the time, so the two of them are killing me, the two of them are killing me in the media. And that, I'm going to a family dinner for Easter Sunday, and then I might be going to one of my pals' stag do's. We call him Stephen, the wee guy went through the course with me.
We help him.
We, no, he's so he's picked a stag do in Dundee.
Oh,
what the hell did you go to Dundee?
What was the budget for the stag do?
Oh, I tell you, cutbacks, honestly. So we're going to Dundee, so I go to my family. So I come in after the game, first of all, my phone's fucking red hot. I'm like, so you know right away there's a problem here.
Who's it that's texting you? Just
Pals are refereeing, pals outside the refereeing. Yeah. With a bit of winter weather here. So, and see when you come in for a game and you've got hundreds of messages or something like So I went, all right, then the Observer comes in, there's a couple of things I need to review. I already know, people have told me. Went, all right, okay, so I know it's not going well. So I go to my family dinner, and then I go up the road to that, and I'm thinking, am I going to go to this stag do in Dundee?
Because of the game?
Aye, and that's what it is, because, I mean, you're on that loop into Sky Sports every 20 minutes, the same clips, the same interviews. I went, so I'm going to go up, so then I little didn't know we're meeting in a sports bar, so I'm sitting in a sports bar, and it's just my fucking mistakes that keep looping around.
Could you and the boys tell a laugh about that?
Aye, we've got a good bit of banter, but I think there was even guys there, aye, I'll see how many comes up here, but guys, we're all fine when we go up there.
If you see Billy Connolly live, if you watch him on a telly, if you see him in a chat show, if you watch one of his old VHSs or one of his old DVDs, the one thing about Billy Connolly, and you can't say this about, I think, any other comedian, there's always at least one bit in it when you know you'll be reduced to tears of laughter. There's always with Billy, there's always that, you know. And I had the pleasure of seeing him live twice. Once in Motherwell as well. He was doing a bit of filming out here. See one of the plays that he'd done, the TV dramas,
have,
you know.
That must have been when he was struggling. It was
just that they were filming out here. Okay. So he thought, oh, I'll chuck in a wee performance doing it at the Civic Centre. And me, in the back of the motor, because I didn't drive then, one of my mates at the wheel, a quiz I used to run for my mate in a hotel in Motherwell. We were back my mate's motor after it one night, dropping some of the boys off. One of the boys was driving, and we nearly killed Billy Connolly.
No way.
About 500 yards from here, running at Catherine Street, right? Billy Connolly, as I say, because he was doing filming, but a late night filming. My mate's driving his back, dotting his afro about here, and out of nowhere in the darkness, fucking vision just ran out in front of us. It was like a deer or something, if you know. And fucking screeched on the brake. We got a wee wave to the persons, have to say sorry, and we drove on. And it was only as we drove on, it's that I looked around. It's fucking Billy Connolly. So can you imagine the reaction? I would have got to blame it, because I would have been the only one at the end of the known in the motorway. I'd have a headline out of me, Tam Cowan kills Billy Connolly. Can you imagine? You'd have had to emigrate to Porto or something, you know what I mean?
Ever see the hair drying full floor?
Oh, aye. A number of occasions. I remember I was playing a under-21 game, Scotland under-21 game, so I was back up the road. I think it was Northern Ireland. I've told the story a few times. I think it was Northern Ireland at St Mirren. And we were 1-1 or something late on, and we were battered down, like just frustrated. Anyway, I slid and won the ball. The ref's given like a free kick, and I was raging. And I picked the ball up and I went to like slam it into the ground. And as I went to throw it, it was wet and it sort of came flying out my hand. So I went to throw it in the ground and it came flying out my hand and hit the ref.
Oh, no.
So the ref's like sent me off, and I was like, oh fuck. So anyway, I thought, right, I'll send off and I'll just deal with it. So drive back down the road, that train the next day, getting changed, going upstairs to go to breakfast, and the gaffer's like, ah, you in my fucking office now? And I was like, oh shit. So he's like, he called me through, and he was like, you think I wouldn't fucking know? You think I'm fucking stupid? And I was like, what? He meant, if you ever fucking do something like that again, he says, I don't care whether you're up the road or fucking playing for United, because you're always representing this club. If you ever do something like that again, you will be out that fucking door quicker than your arse can fucking touch it. And I was like, all right. He says, I don't care how fucking well you're respected or how fucking far we think you're going. That's you. You're fucking done.
I've got a proposition for you. Obviously, you've done the big Hampden, but fancy dinner at Peterhead game?
Peterhead?
Yeah.
I've not been asked.
Well, this is me asking you. You want to know what the club's anthem is?
What?
We sing when we're fishing.
I'm not, what's that?
So it's a big fishing village, so that's what the Peterhead song is. Do you want me to sing it for you?
If you want.
Well, we sing when we're winning, and we sing when we're fishing, and we'll sing louder than you. And we make the other team look like they're playing Sunday League, so they call us the Blue Toon. Peterhead.
Peterhead.
You fancy it?
I'll check my diary.
Can't believe you've patched this. What sort of, would Bullard just wind people up constantly?
Bullard would do anything and everything. Just, like, if everybody get bored. We very rarely go bored with like Gary Teal, Steve McMillan, Jason Roberts, loads of Alan Mann, loads and loads of characters. But any time we get bored with Jimmy, give some banner. The gaffer would be right down the front of the reading a book or something. Jimmy, all his gear off, bollock naked for the back, walked right down, just plonked his ass right down next to the gaffer and go, all right, mate. And the gaffer being angry, Scouser Paul Geo, like, fuck off.
Oh, I love that. Boys
are, just wee things like that. There was nothing really that he'd done all the time. It'd just be small things that would just to get a laugh and show off.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.